Okay, so our parsha today, this week, is Parsha Vayera, the second parsha in Shemot. And the parsha goes into the beginning of the 10 plagues of Egypt. And something very interesting occurs that oftentimes slips past people, right? So the 10 plagues come through, Dam, Tzardeya, Kinim, and we take from the wine that we have, and so we're not quite as joyful. We're pretty darn close, but we're not quite as joyful because of the plagues that hit Egypt. So in chapter 9, it begins. God said to Moses, come to Pharaoh and speak to him. That's a different teaching, but it doesn't say go to Moses. It says come to Moses. Said to Moses, come to Pharaoh. Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. Thank you. I'm an interpreter. It's important. It says come to Pharaoh. It doesn't say go to Pharaoh. So Shem said, the God of the Hebrews, send out my people that they may serve me. For if you refuse to send us out and you continue to grip them, behold, the hand of God is on your livestock that are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, and the camels, and the cattle, and on the flock. A very severe epidemic. And the Lord shall distinguish between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. Not a thing that belongs to the children of Israel will die. God has set an appointed time, saying, tomorrow God shall carry out this word in the land. And God carried out this word the next day, and the livestock of Egypt died. And of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent them, behold, of the livestock of Israel, not even one had died. Yet Pharaoh's heart became stubborn, and he did not send out his people. Pharaoh's heart became stubborn. Then God said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves hands full of furnace soot and let Moses hurl it heavenward before Pharaoh's eyes. It will become afar dust over the entire land of Egypt, and it will become boils erupting into blisters on man and beast throughout the land of Egypt. Yuck. And the necromancers could not stand before Moses because of the boils, and the boils that were on the necromancers and on all of Egypt. And Hashem strengthened the heart, hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, as God had spoken to Moses. So something happens here between the fifth and the sixth plague. In the fifth plague, Pharaoh says, no, I'm not going to let the children go. And Pharaoh hardens his heart. But on the sixth plague, God hardens Pharaoh's heart. God hardens Pharaoh's heart. Now, this is an important thing, because we have to understand that God works this way. So Pharaoh and the Egyptians didn't respond to this plague because God wouldn't let them. So there were more plagues to come. 7, 8, 9, and 10. And in each case, God hardens Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's done. Pharaoh's ready to let him go. But God hardens his heart. So why is God sending the plagues to Egypt? What's the purpose? If Moses, after number 5, is ready to let him go, why is God sending the plagues? Right? We got some bad ones coming, including Makat Bechorot, the slaying of the firstborn. And the answer is, somewhat disconcerting. The answer is that the plagues are for the children of Israel to learn who God is and to accept Him as their God and not follow after the Egyptian gods. That's the purpose. This is for the children of Israel. And what about the Egyptians? Right, the Egyptians had a hard time, you can tell. Right? Is this fair? No. It's not fair. Pharaoh and the Egyptians are ready to let Israel go, but Israel has to learn who God is. And so the Egyptians are harmed in order that Israel be separated out for God. Likdushat ha'am, for the sanctification of the nation of Israel. Egypt is harmed. Now this is, how do you accept this? This is hard. This is difficult to do. And yet, we see things that are seemingly odd, like this, happening throughout the text, all the way up to the Revelation. So, what does Israel do? Well, one of the big things that we do is that we recognize the sacrifice of Egypt. And we don't just let it pass. It's important. Egypt made a sacrifice of itself so that Israel could become a nation, so that Israel would be sanctified, separated out before God. And therefore, the day before the Passover, all of the firstborn of Israel, myself included, have a fast day. Tanit Bechorot, the fast of the firstborn, where we recognize the sacrifice of the Egyptians for the sake of Israel. Okay? I'll get more about the hardening of the heart in the second brief sermon. Message, whatever it is. Shabbat Shalom. So this is from the beginning of Romans chapter 11. And it starts off Paul explaining himself, which he has to do a lot. And according to Peter, he doesn't do enough. And he says, by all of this, do I mean that God repudiates his people? And heaven forbid, no, he's not repudiating his people. What's going on is that God is laying out history. This is what's happening and what is going to happen. Okay. Now in Hebrew and in Aramaic, this is fairly easy because we don't have past, present, and future tense. We use this past tense, what's called perfect tense, which means an action that is completed. And for future tense, we use imperfect tense, which just means an action has not yet been completed. Okay, so it can mean present also. It depends on context. You got to read it. Makes learning Hebrew and Aramaic a little more difficult, but you get used to it. So, what Paul is telling us is, and he quotes Tanakh to do this, which is scripture for all of them, right? They didn't have the New Testament. He's saying God is hardening the Jewish people's heart. God is hardening their hearts. He's not repudiating them at all. He's hardening their hearts. Why? Well, he's hardening it. This is further on after verse 25. He's hardening it to, until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. All right? Now, there's a variety of ways to interpret this, but the main idea is that until the number of people that's proper of the Gentiles come to faith, he's hardening Israel's heart. Is this fair to Israel? It is what it is. Thank you, Nancy. It's true. It is what it is. Just like with the Egyptians, it is what it is. Does Israel suffer because of this? And the answer is, my word, yes. Okay, you want an explanation of the Holocaust? There it is. But the Holocaust is merely a big one and one of the more recent ones. Right? You want a more recent one? How many were killed at Pittsburgh in the synagogue? Right? We've got Hezbollah. They tried to kill me. They threw a rocket at me. I, like people with wisdom, was running through the field to the bomb shelter. Okay? We had the Holocaust. We had Chmielnitsky, who killed 100,000 in Poland because the Jews were put in charge of the liquor and people weren't paying their bills. So the alcoholics couldn't get liquor, so it's the Jews' fault. We had the Shmad in Emperor Hadrian's time. We had the expulsion from Spain, Ferdinand and Isabella. What happened in 1492? Well, everybody that went to Hebrew school knows that that's when the Jews were expelled from Spain. Oh yeah, and there was this Columbus guy too. This has been going on and on and on. Jewish people have been killed and killed and killed. Okay? We suffer. For the sake of the Gentiles, we suffer. So part of me wants to say, no, would you guys hurry it up, please? And the other looks at the Tanakh, looks at the Bible, looks at the scripture and says, this is perfectly in the pattern that is laid out. Okay? How many innocent have suffered and died among Israel? Okay? Now, one thing that is very clear about this is that the whole idea that Israel's suffering is temporal, that this is for a time until the fullness of the Gentile comes in, that is immediately understandable from reading in the scripture. That there's an end to the suffering. This is not eternal suffering. And this is what Paul is talking about. The people are not repudiated. So if the people are not repudiated, they're not allowed to come to understand who Messiah is. Except for the chosen remnant. Right? Except for the few and the proud. Semper Fi. That would be me. You know, what an honor, what a responsibility. You know, you guys that are supporting me and what we're doing here. This is incredible. This is end times prophecy. Right? And the rest of Israel, God isn't repudiating them. God is making their hearts stubborn. He's hardening their hearts so they won't get it until the full number of Gentiles come in. Then it says something really amazing after verse 25. In this way, all Israel will be saved. Okay? God is hardening the hearts of Jewish people. And ultimately, as far as an eternal salvation is concerned, which is beyond time and space, there's no yesterday and there's no tomorrow. Okay? Israel is saved to his people, to God. Why? Because of faith. Because of faith. And because of the merit. Because of the merit. Okay? If the merit of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses and Aaron, and David and Solomon, if this was enough to make God double take and pay attention to his children of Israel, how much more so? Kal vachomer, right? How much more so is the merit of the death of the tzaddik, of the righteous one, of Israel, Yeshua the Messiah? So in this way, the nation will be saved. Okay? But right now, it kind of sucks. And this is part of it. This is part of it. Okay? Faith in Yeshua gives you a lot of things. One of the things it does not give you is that you're not removed from suffering. It gives you a way to deal with suffering. It does not remove you from suffering. It doesn't make you rich. Sorry, Joel. It doesn't make you feel good all the time. Sorry, Joyce. Okay? I know you get the two confused all the time, but I'm... Okay? We don't get pardons from these things in the world. What we get is a way to deal with it. When bad stuff happens, we turn to Yeshua the Messiah. We turn to God. And God is our comfort. God is our comforter. These things do not go away. God is our comfort. And our people are our comfort. You have each other. It's one of those ancillary things about synagogue. When you've had a rotten week, you can come here and know that you got a good bunch of good people. They're going to kiss your cheek and hug you and say, hey, you're here. You made it to Shabbat. Right? Where is the comforter? He is here. The sages tell us whenever two or more are gathered together to study the Word of God, Divrei Torah, and to worship, I am there. In what way is God here? The Shekhinah is here. Okay? Now maybe you don't see it. Okay? Well, Yeshua loves you, but I'm his favorite, so I see it. I'm just kidding. Okay? The Shekhinah is here. This too is faith. Okay? And it's why we are comforted as we are together. All right? So come. Don't only give us your troubles. Also give us your triumphs. Let us celebrate all together. Okay? That's why we have a Passover Seder. We are celebrating that God saved us from Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That if he didn't save us from Egypt, then us, our children, even our children's children would still be slaves in Egypt. And guess what? The Messiah would not have come to us. So, bring your troubles and bring your celebrations. And let's be a community together and love each other as we love ourselves. Shabbat Shalom.